Hello, welcome to this special edition of Deep Dive. I'm James Lancaster, and today we're investigating how the meetings industry can play its part in the fight against climate change. I'm joined by Kai Hattendorf, CEO of UFI, the Global Association of the Exhibitions Industry, a former honorary president of the Joint Meetings Industry Council, and the driving force behind the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative. Kai, welcome to Deep Dive.
James, thanks for having me.
For those who don't know, and there'll be some because this is a sprawling, multifaceted industry, can you just give us an overview, a bird's eye view of the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative?
Sure, happy to. The Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative is the collective effort of the global events industry to make sure that our sector can do its part in that also important journey to net zero, to combat climate change. It is by now the most global, the most inclusive initiative our industry has ever seen. And that is fitting in many ways because the challenge we are facing is not limited to any geography or industry or segment of our sector. The global discussion around the climate crisis, climate change, the changing weather affects each and every industry that we serve as the event sector. And each and every individual working in the sector or working in any of the sectors that we work for. So quite frankly, there can't be a bigger topic that will need a more united answer. And that's what Net Zero Carbon Events in essence is all about.
So events covers planners, venues, agencies, organizations that hold events that wouldn't necessarily think of themselves as part of the meetings industry, for example, like associations. Is it open to practically anyone who is involved in organizing meetings?
Yes. The beauty is sometimes we complain that the term events or meetings is so unspecified. Here it's actually, we're using that to the advantage. If you're a corporate event manager in a huge corporation, you can connect. If you are a wedding planner, you can connect. If you are a global trade show organizer, you can connect. If you're a venue, you can connect. If you're a supplier to the sector, you can connect. If you are involved in the production or delivery of events, you can connect.
Organizations and individuals?
Predominantly organizations, but all the materials that are being produced are widely available also for individuals.
So there's a pledge underpinning the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative. What's that?
Yes. The pledge is how it really all started. The pledge essentially is a document that every company or individual working with the initiative can sign to commit to essentially the targets of the Paris Climate Accord, to reducing the greenhouse gas emissions for the events they're working with or responsible for by 50% by 2030, and to become net zero carbon events-wise by 2050, the latest, in line with the science of the day. The pledge also includes an obligation to record, to measure and report the progress regularly, because what you can't measure, you can't track. And if you say you want to get to 50% of something, you need to know what your baseline was and what you're actually reducing. So, but the targets of the pledge are really in line with what almost all governments around the world have signed on to under the Paris Climate Accord. And it is not particularly different from similar pledges in other industries, from travel, to fashion, to name a few. The world needs to walk in lockstep to achieve this. And therefore, the targets are aligned. And therefore, the pledge is, in very many ways, something that many of the customers of our events industry are sharing as well as targets and are therefore pushing us to achieve anyway.
So you have a pledge, people signing up to commit to reducing their emissions by 50% by 2030 and then reach net zero at the latest by 2050. How do they get there? What's the mechanism which helps them get there that the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative provides?
Mm-hmm. That was the work of the last 18 months to turn that promise, that pledge, into a guide, if you so wish, into a roadmap. So we presented that pledge at COP26, the UN Climate Conference in Glasgow in November 2021. And 1 year later, last November in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt at COP27, we presented the roadmap. Now, the roadmap is the how do we get there. It's the plan. And it gives you A, the timeline, and B, the milestones to achieve. And also identifies the areas where we can make progress and how we can make progress there. And that's what we call work streams. And right now, there are 8 work streams ongoing within the initiative, backed by now around 500 businesses and entities across the global event sector, filling this roadmap with practical examples and concrete, tangible actions that are being pursued or implemented somewhere in the world and are being shared in the spirit of allowing others to just take that wheel instead of reinventing it and so applying them themselves.
Give us an example of a work stream.
Take waste. There are two work streams around waste, because one focuses on F&B and one on general waste. We all know that one of the biggest factors that we can directly influence as event organizers is what is left over after an event, what goes to landfill, what is being recycled in which way. And the 20th century answer in most cases was landfill. Carpets being thrown away, booths being deconstructed, and booth supplies just being thrown away. The working group working on that is coming up with measures to replace carpet with recyclable carpet or reusable carpets, or with carpet alternatives. In most cases, if you go to a trade show post-pandemic, you will find that they don't use carpets no more. Stand construction, big topic, right? Stand construction systems replacing individual stand build, it's a very logical step towards reusing materials. You see big companies who exhibit around the world coming up with stand designs that are sustainable, dismantled, transported, and reused, or built on the basis of existing modular systems in the first place. So that's one very simple example where a working group is underway to provide all these examples and best practices.
And that would reduce emissions because materials aren't being produced in the first place, they're not being wasted.
Right, I mean, a tree you don't have to cut down to build a booth is a tree you don't have to cut down. And even worse, wood that you don't have to burn after a show because you haven't used it to build a stand at the show because you didn't have to fell the tree. You see where it's going.
But it's all focused on carbon emissions. It's not a broader sustainability piece. Everything has to have everything has to result in the reduction of carbon emissions.
Why it's the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiative. This is not the answer to all things sustainability. It can't be, and it shouldn't. Lots of elements of the wider sustainability conversation are cultural, political, and societal. The inclusivity means very different things in different parts of the world. But the carbon question is ultimately science. Carbon emissions are generated out of every event. It's physics. So it's a segment where standardization can make a difference in a global way. And that can be applied in Asia as well as in the Americas, in Europe as well as in the Middle East. whereas other elements of the wider sustainability discussion will need different culturally adapted implementations and interpretations to be successful.
So these work streams, is there an onus on people who have signed the pledge to join a work stream, or can they sit back and look at the workings of the work stream, as it were, and take information from it? What's the relationship between the people who have signed the pledge, your supporters, and the work streams? How does that work?
The whole process is open for participation by everyone who's within the initiative. There's no entry, there's no barrier to entry. And that's super important because we're working with the United Nations and they want to make sure that no one is excluded. So you don't have to pay to play. You can join the initiative first of all and just, as you say, sit back and benefit from the outcome. If you can help us fund the work, we encourage you to do so, of course. The pledge includes a phrase that you're working with the initiative. Working with the initiative can mean you take the results and work with it. Can also mean if you have experts, you designate time of these experts to be involved in the work streams and help drive things forward. So the level of activation is really up to every single entity. To avoid the whole initiative being dominated by some major players or major interests, we're also capping the maximum amount of money we're taking from every part, from one party, to make sure we are not solely funded by one or two huge donors who would probably bring some interests. So it really is
accusations of lobbying.
Exactly. It really is a very, very open initiative. So again, you can just take the materials and apply them, and that is hugely, hugely, hugely beneficial. If you can help fund it. If you have the capacities to be involved in the work streams, so in the review of the work of the work streams, because all of these go through iterations of reviews to webinars. Give time, give resources, give your insights and knowledge to help us come to the best solutions.
Is there anything in the framework or the initiative that prevents organizations sort of piggybacking on this and in effect sort of greenwashing their organization, saying that, you know, we have the net zero carbon events label, we've signed this pledge, but actually they might not be doing a great deal?
That will become apparent because the organizations who signed the pledge sign a commitment to report on their progress.
That's binding, that commitment.
That's binding. Yeah. You sign the pledge, you have a year to get your ducks in a row and you should better start reporting. The report can be, we don't have all the data yet, but here's what we have, right? But you need to start reporting. You need to start walking the walk. And I'm sure given the attention the topic has across the industry, that if you were to sign and not do anything and say at every opportunity that you have signed this, some people would ask you, where's your report? Where's your progress report?
Would you expect there to be some kind of peer-to-peer pressure within the framework itself? Do you think a bit of self-regulation going on?
We will see, because the end of 2023 is when we expect the first players to report. We are seeing the first members reporting. A few days ago, IMEX, for instance, released the reporting of their show in Frankfurt last year. And they're tracking Vegas as well. So we're beginning to see the examples and the first members of the Net Zero Carbon Events Initiatives community publishing these. The rest is speculation. So if you and I have this conversation in the first quarter of 2024, we can probably look at it and say, look, it got this much pickup. There were those who needed to be reminded and there were those who weren't aware they should do that. And I don't know, there may be a few who didn't read that part and thought they wouldn't need to do it. I don't know. What I do know is everybody who is interacting with the initiative gets the messaging, gets the deliverables, and gets all the materials so that everybody can act. And I'm ever the optimist. I see the energy, I see the momentum, and when I Emmet industry gatherings, and we discussed the topic. There's a lot of support and there's a lot of understanding that this is something that needs to happen, a lot of backing from the respective leaderships. And I see that trickling down into action within the respective organizations.
Just another question on the work streams, for clarity. People can, in effect, pick and choose which work streams they belong to, depending on their own operations and where they see they might be able to reduce emissions most effectively. Is that how it works? You can sort of...
Well, you can raise your hand and join every work stream. But predominantly, we need the people in the work streams who can help the work streams in their work. The outcomes will be there for everyone to take, right? So as we were discussing the waste work stream earlier, if you have a waste management model in your venue that you've rolled out and you've made experiences with that and want to share that, it makes sense for you to connect with the work stream. If you are planning to build a venue and want to know how best to design the back of house to facilitate waste, no need to be in the work stream now, because you can work with the outcome of the work stream, right? Then you should probably get into the energy work stream and say, well, here are my plans for the venue I want to build. And here's what we are planning based on what we know currently about the whole venue being energy sufficient or zero carbon by design. So whatever insights you have there, if you're at that point of a project, can be very beneficial to that work stream. So you have to see where you are in your respective business. And then you will have one or two areas where you will have knowledge that is worth sharing or bringing into the groups. And then we encourage you to do that.
Allow me to play devil's advocate a bit here. Where does aviation come into this? Presumably there's a transport stream. Does that include aviation, or is aviation somebody else's responsibility?
Well, first of all, that is, I don't know, the elephant in the room or the jumbo jet, or pick a metaphor of your choice. If you have an international event, between 60 and 80% of the greenhouse gas emissions that belong in the widest sense to that event come from travel. This is what is known as scope 3 for the events, because it's scope 1 is what you can directly influence. If you are a show organizer, you can decide to be plastic free in everything you can directly touch. There's scope 2, which is things you don't directly do but can influence. As an organizer, you can pick a venue that can supply you with 100% regenerative energy. That's scope 2. How your customer travels to the event, what your customer does outside of the event, is scope 3. So technically, you can say that's up to the airlines or to the hotels, to travel and hospitality. Obviously, it's a joint responsibility somewhat. So you need to have dialogue, you need to have conversation. And this is why it is important that we have this initiative on the global level and with the UN backing. Because the UN can facilitate this dialogue with the airline industry, with the hospitality industry. And what we can then discuss in our work stream is how can we design events to minimize greenhouse gas emissions from travel? How can we encourage attendees to use carbon low or carbon free means of transport?
Yeah, that comes into it. You can incentivize rail travel. You can choose where you hold your meeting, that kind of thing.
But you make a good point, where you hold your meeting, because that goes very, very quickly. It goes into the very core of your business casing and your business design. A lot of the value of events is that they connect people from different countries, markets, regions. So the internationality and the exchange it generates is a huge asset. Obviously, it comes at the cost of more people traveling from further away. So how do you balance the value you provide, the value proposition between global event and regional events, local events and national events, right? So there's a lot of business case discussions that comes into that. And this just shows how deep this whole conversation and discussion really goes into every aspect of events.
Yeah, It's incredibly complex when you start to try and unpack all the different facets of an international meeting and who's responsible for what. So how many people have signed the pledge so far?
We are at around closing into 500. I think we have 490 something. So it depends on when you go live with our conversation. We may or may not have passed 500, or we are about to pass 500. So let's say around about 500.
That sounds like a pretty decent milestone. What do you have a target, or do you have a kind of ambition in terms of how many pledgees, if that's the right word, you want?
Not by numbers, but by relevance. And a small local event organizer is just as relevant as a huge corporation's corporate events division. Because it's about, I think, having a truly global group of businesses enforcing this. I think we started with 100 in Glasgow, and we didn't do any PR. We were just working away after that. And despite that, within 6 months, we had reached 300. And by the time we got to Sharm el-Sheikh, we were around 400. Now we're 500. So there's a trajectory, and it continues to grow. As it's an initiative, there's no business plan. There are no growth targets. There are relevance targets. This is the approach for our sector that is backed by the United Nations. This is the approach for our industry to find our own answer to the climate challenge. If you wish, it's our opportunity to come up with a solution that is so good that we don't need to be regulated into something. If what we produce is good enough, it will de facto become a global standard. And we are involved. We are involved with the ISO and the others to have that dialogue, strategic dialogue about us as an industry being able to lead the way towards low carbon and then zero carbon events.
Because regulation will come if the industry doesn't change its ways.
Regulation is already here in many, many ways in many, many markets. And if you just look that many Brazilian cities could not celebrate Carnival because of extreme weather conditions. Boat shows get canceled because of hurricanes. Typhoon warnings in Asia and events that can't take place, or people that can't travel. So the impact climate change already has today on our everyday business is no longer anecdotal, but tangible.
Are there any regional discrepancies in terms of who is signing the pledge? Are some parts of the world lagging behind others?
I wouldn't say lagging, but again, every market, every region, every culture is at a different point in the climate conversation, and also at a different point in the implementation. And that mirrors very much what you see at the global COP conference. You have markets who are very eager to commit to net zero, technically net zero, very early by using bridge technologies like offsetting, and to real net zero by 2040, 2045. There are other major markets who were struggling to make a first commitment towards becoming net zero at all. If you look at the way the conversation has evolved at the global climate conference level over the last 3 to 4 to 5 years, those countries who were hesitant to have a target date have all announced target dates. And these target dates are shifting closer towards present day. So this is a conversation, and it is an evolution, and it is a process. I've had many conversations where some organizations or venues were telling me, why should I sign the pledge? Because I will be there by 2030. Your pledge is not good enough. And I tell each and every one of them, you should sign the pledge to help the others get there faster. And then they do, because it is about helping each other to get there as an industry. Yeah. So yes, there are markets who move faster because they're already further down the line, and it's easy for them to commit to something that they've already, in some cases, achieved, halving of the emissions. It is more difficult for other markets who look at that and say, poof, where to get started, how to get there.
COP28, Abu Dhabi, you were at, obviously the initiative was launched at Glasgow, and then you had your seat at the table in Sharm el-Sheikh last year. How are you involved in Abu Dhabi COP28, if at all?
We'll surely find, again, an excellent group of people to represent the industry. If I'm asked again to be part of that, I'll be more than honored. But hey, we now have 500 companies. You've had that tall German there twice. There are many others. And it's a collective effort. So, but what we need to bring to COP28 is the result of the work and the work streams. After the what with the pledge and the how with the roadmap, it is the how exactly, and here's what we do. Yeah? And here are our first reports. So I could imagine some members of the initiative who have produced their first reports and show the progress to invite them to be at the table at COP28 and give some examples from the implementations of elements in the work streams to show how they make a difference. Yeah, I think it was important to bring us to the table and then to back up that we were delivering. And now it's about showing the measures. I think it'll become more tangible as we go along.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Kai. That was a very helpful and useful conversation, I'm sure, for lots of listeners. If people are inspired to join Net Zero Carbon Events, there's a website. They'll find everything they need.
They will, and it's aptly called netzerocarbonevents.org. One word, no hyphens. That's netzerocarbonevents.org.
Great. Thanks very much, Kai, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks, James.